with Professor Lednitsky, who will speak about particle physics and information technology. Please.
Dear members of the Scientific Council, dear colleagues and guests, let me inform you on the progress implementation of the GINER 7-year plan in the field of particle physics, relativistic heavy ion physics, and also on information technology. So, it does not move. It is not moving.
Technical stuff.
So, particle physics and relativistic heavy ion physics program is carried out in four joint institute laboratories using both in-home accelerator complex NICA and largest accelerator facilities at CERN, BNL, FNAL, FAIR, and other laboratories. The main topics are shown on this slide in particle physics research, relativistic heavy ion research, and also there is activities in new generation of detectors, accelerators, theoretical and information technology support of the projects. This slide demonstrates a reasonable overlap of the worldwide priorities in particle and relativistic heavy ion physics with joint institute activities. Each of the priority topics is covered by several projects, mostly realized within large international collaborations using the most advanced facilities and detectors. This slide demonstrates the main research directions of Laboratory of High Energy Physics are study of the hot and dense baryonic matter under extreme conditions at high temperatures and density, study of the nucleon spin structure and other polarization phenomena, the standard model precision checks and search for new physics beyond the standard model and study of CP violation mechanisms, and also accelerated physics and technology. The study of hot and dense baryonic matter and the phase transitions will be performed at the home facilities of the NICA complex. The NICA status will be given in the next talk by Vladimir Kekelidze. In external experiments, Joint Institute is involved in the research program of STAR at RIC, NA61 at SPS, ALICE at Large Hadron Collider, and CBM HADES at FAIR. Obviously, the experience from this involvement is important for a successful realization of the research program at NICA. Out of a number of interesting results, it is worth to mention the STAR observation. Again, it does not move. The STAR observation of global polarization of lambda hyperons in heavy ion collisions. This polarization is likely generated by a large orbital angular momentum in non-central collisions through a spin-orbit interaction. Though the polarization decreases with energy, a recent high statistics STAR measurements reported a non-zero value of a fraction of percent even at maximal Rieke energy of 200 GeV. The high statistics data collected at STAR run this year, this and next year, will be used to clarify what fraction of the observed charge separation is due to so-called chiral magnetic effect using collisions of ruthenium and zirconium isobar nuclei at 200 GeV and test various models of global lambda and lambda bar polarization, particularly clarify the role of magnetic field using gold-gold collisions at moderate energy of 27 GeV. The experiment NA61 SHINE at SPS CERN is investigating energy and system size dependence of hadron production to reveal the changes related with the onset of new production mechanism like formation of quark gluon plasma. Thus, a recent study of hadron multiplicity fluctuations revealed a rapid change of hadron production properties that start when moving from beryllium on beryllium to argon on scandium collisions. It can be interpreted as the beginning of creation of large clusters of strongly interacting matter, and this phenomenon was referred to as the onset of fireball. Within the ALICE experiment at LHC, the Joint Institute Group is responsible for the femtoscopic correlation analysis of charged kaons. Recent comparison of the measured K plus K minus correlation function in lead-lead collisions with the prediction of final state interaction model, including contributions of F0, A0, and phi resonances, revealed the necessity to modify F0 mass, KK bar, and pi pi couplings of this resonance. The extracted F0 width of 7 plus minus 2 MeV is close to the lower boundary of particle data group estimate from 10 to 100 MeV and is much smaller than the width from the traditional F0 parameters by Martin, Achasov and Antonelli. It should be noted that the small A0 and F0 widths and large KK bar couplings of these resonances point to their tetraquark or KK bar molecule nature. The study of nucleon spin structure and other polarization phenomena in nucleon-nucleon and nucleon-nuclei interactions will be performed at home facilities of the NICA complex, and in external experiments, Jenner is involved in the research programs of COMPASS and STAR. The main goal of the COMPASS experiment is the study of polarized nucleon structure functions to extract various types of parton distribution functions. The Jenner COMPASS team from Jelepov laboratory initiated and performed search for photoproduction of exotic charmonium X3872 MeV, which led to an unexpected result. Despite the fact that a force standard deviation signal in the J-Psi Pi Pi mass spectrum was found to be consistent with the expected one, the dipion mass spectrum is completely different from that in the X decay. The observed signal thus may belong to a new particle, which has almost the same mass and lifetime as X3872, but differs different set of other quantum numbers. Such a partner particle is predicted by tetraquark model of this resonance. The verification of the standard model and the search for physical phenomena beyond standard model and study of CP violation mechanisms will be continued in the CMS and the ATLAS experiments at LHC and in the NA62 and NA64 experiments at SPS. Recently, the CMS and ATLAS experiments presented the first result on Higgs boson decay to two bottom quarks. It represents the dominant contribution to the Higgs boson width, but was uneasy to observe due to a large background. And Joint Institute team is actively participating in this complicated analysis. This slide demonstrates the dominance of the BB bar signal from Z boson decays, and the Higgs boson to BB bar decay is seen as a right shoulder with a significance of phi standard deviations. In 2018, in this year, the Jenner CMS group concentrated on data processing and analysis of 13 TeV data in order to study dimion production and verify the standard model predictions in the new energy range and to search for signals of new physics beyond the standard model. The corresponding mass limits of new particles have been obtained in the range from a few to 10 TeV. Within the experiment NA62 at SPS CERN, the Jenner group performed the analysis of charge KL3 decays and analyzing both electron and muon channels determine the vector and scalar form factors F0 and F plus from the analysis of respective Dalitz plots. Comparing with previous measurements, one may see a good and or reasonable agreement and substantial improvement of the accuracy of the form factors. The main goal of the NA62 experiment is the verification of the standard model predictions for a very rare charge kaon decay into a charged pion, a neutrino and antineutrino. The Joint Institute group made a key contribution to this experiment, developing and providing thin-wall straw tubes working in vacuum of 10 to the minus 6 torr. Analyzing a small fraction of events, the first signal event has been observed out of 20 events expected from the standard model based on the statistic to be collected till the end of this year. To achieve the goal of 100 standard model events, additional 2 years of running are required. They have already been approved after the long shutdown of the LHC in 2019 and 20. The main goal of the NA64 experiment at SPS is the search for dark matter, so-called sub-GeV dark photons, and in this year run about 2 × 10⁶ to the 11 electrons with energy 100 and 150 GeV is to be delivered on the target. The main research directions of the Djelepov laboratory are the neutrino physics and astrophysics, particle physics at high and super high energies, development of new detectors, applied research, and hadron therapy. A part of the laboratory activities will be covered in the talk by Michal Itkis. The research of neutrino physics and astrophysics is realized in a number of facilities, out of them the gigavolume detector at Baikal Lake and the project GEMA and DANCE at Kalinin nuclear power plant can be considered as home facilities. The main goal of the Baikal GVD project are to localize galactic and extragalactic sources of ultra-high energy neutrinos, to determine diffuse neutrino flux, energy spectrum, anisotropy and flavor contact, to investigate transition sources like gamma ray bursts or binaries, and to search for dark matter and exotic particles. In 2018, the Baikal collaboration made one more step to reach its goal of constructing a cubic kilometer scale neutrino detector. The third full-scale cluster was deployed during the winter expedition from February to April this year, and in next year two more clusters will be deployed. The first candidates of ultra-high energy neutrinos have been already registered. Djelepov laboratory participates in a number of external experiments in the field of neutrino physics and astrophysics. Thus, at Fréjus and Gran Sasso tunnels, there are experiments Edelweiss, Supernemo and Gerda, Burexino, Dark Side, which are devoted to the search for neutrinoless double beta decay, measuring CNO neutrinos from the Sun related with its chemical composition and searching for weakly interacting massive particles. At China Coast, it is the experiment Daya Bay and its next step continuation in Juno, devoted to resolve the problem of neutrino mass hierarchy using electron anti-neutrinos from nuclear power plants. At Fermilab, Djelepov laboratory participates in the Nova Dune experiment devoted to resolve the problem of neutrino mass hierarchy and CP violation in neutrino sector using the Fermilab muon neutrino and anti-neutrino beams. At Fermilab, the JPARC laboratory participates in Mu2E and COMET projects to achieve an upper limit for muon to electron conversion at a level of 6 × 10⁻¹⁷. The main goals of NOVA experiments is to determine the order of neutrino masses, known as the mass hierarchy, and to answer a question if CP is violated in the lepton sector. And moment to answer another fundamental question: is there a new mu or new tau symmetry? It means, is the mixing angle theta 2, 3 maximal, or if not, what is the octant? At present, the best fit of available neutrino and anti-neutrino data slightly prefers normal hierarchy and upper theta 2, 3 octant. The Jenner Nova team is involved in a number of tasks. Of particular importance is the running of remote operation center at Dubna for Joint Institute and INR members. In particle physics at super high and high energies, the Djelepov laboratory participates in the CERN experiments ATLAS and COMPASS, and I have already mentioned the recent results of Jenner activities in these experiments. From the results of applied research in Djelepov laboratory, it is worth to mention the precision laser inclinometer, which allowed monitoring of angular oscillation of the Earth's surface with unprecedented sensitivity. It steadily registers Earth's surface inclinations caused by the Moon, Sun, far-located earthquakes, microseismic peaks, and sources of industrial origin. The inclinometer samples are manufactured at Joint Institute to monitor proton beam orbit space stability within the CERN high luminosity LHC program. The inclinometer samples were put in operation in the Garni Observatory in Armenia for assessing seismic hazards. And the new metrology instruments like laser fiducial line and laser interferometric distance meter are under development. Theoretical research in Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics will be concentrated on the support of physics program of major international collaborations within Jenner participation and of those in the Jenner basic facilities, primarily at NICA. Major attention will be paid to phenomenology of standard model, including studies of the Higgs boson, searches for new physics beyond the standard model, neutrino physics, hadron structure and spin physics, phase transitions in hot and dense hadronic matter, heavy flavor physics and hadron spectroscopy, the dark matter problem and astrophysical aspects of elementary particle physics. The Bogolyubov group participates in the experiment NOVA, providing theoretical and phenomenological support of the modeling the neutrino and anti-neutrino interaction with the nuclear target in the NOVA NIR detector. Four recent interesting results can be mentioned as the output of the project theory of hadronic matter under extreme conditions, being realized under the theme theory of fundamental interactions. It is in the paper probing confinement by the direct photons and dileptons. The new source of direct photons and dileptons is suggested due to synchrotron-like mechanism resulting from the quark interaction with a color field in the heavy ion collisions. In the paper Vorticity and Hyperonpolization at NICA Energies, the fluid vorticity and the hyperonpolization in heavy ion collisions at NICA Energies are analyzed in the framework of the parton hadron string dynamics model. The model agrees with the star lambda polarization but underestimates the anti-lambda one. Note that a pronounced excess of anti-lambda polarization at small energies is predicted by another Bogolyubov laboratory group. In the paper, observation of deconfinement in a cold, dense quark medium, the study of the deconfinement transition in lattice SU2 QCD at finite quark density and zero temperature was performed. It appears that in very dense matter, the quark-gluon plasma is a weakly interacting gas of quarks and gluons. This is quite unexpected since this is being sharply different from a quark-gluon plasma at large temperatures, which is in fact strongly interacting. Lattice study of the static quark antiquark interactions in dense quark matter demonstrated that even at large density, the two-color quark matter is a strongly correlated system. Note that the lattice calculations were performed with the use of Joint Institute supercomputer Govorun. As for the plans of Laboratory of Information Technologies, the main goals is development of multifunctional information and computing complex as a center for scientific computing within the multidisciplinary research environment of joint institute and junior member states, in particular for mega science projects such as NICA. The project should meet the requirements of present day high performance scientific computing facility. At the moment, the center comprises the following components. The grid component that includes the grid center of tier 1 level for CMS experiment and grid center of tier 2 level for all experiments at the Large Hadron Collider and other virtual organizations. Then there is cloud infrastructure for research and education objectives, heterogeneous cluster hybrid lead for high performance computation and education objectives, and supercomputer Govorun. And computer offline complex for simulation processing analysis and storage of data of the NICA project and the network and engineering infrastructure. The grid tier 1 is one of the 7 centers in the world intended for large-scale processing of experimental and event modeling data coming from the centers of tier 0 as well as tier 1 and tier 2 of the worldwide computing grid for the CMS experiment. This component is considered as a prototype of the system of processing and storage of the experimental data from the mega science project NICA. The center of the tier 2 level at JINR supports quite a number of virtual organizations, including the major projects at JINR, CERN, BNL, Fermilab, GSI, and other big scientific laboratories. The computer Govorun is a natural continuation of the hybrid lead platform, and it leads to a significant increase by a factor of 10 in its performance. The supercomputer is particularly important in solving the NICA computing challenge, including lattice calculations of the QCD phase diagram, simulation of all the stages of heavy ion collisions, and complete event reconstruction and physics analysis. Thank you for the attention.
Thank you, Professor Lednitsky. The next presentation is by Professor Kikelidze about the NICA project.
Dear colleagues, my task is to give you a very short status report on the NICA project. So, the main target's goal are study of hot and dense baryonic matter at the energy range of maximum net baryonic density. This is one task. Another task of this project is to investigation of nucleon spin structure and polarization phenomena. That could be done only after essential modernization of existing accelerator facility and even construction of new one, collider, which could collide relativistic ions from proton to gold up to the energy range of 11 GeV per unit. Or for the second task, to collide polarized proton and neutrons in each combinations at the maximum energy for protons at 27 GeV. So just a few words concerning the physics which we are going to explore. Exploration of QCD phase diagram is a challenging task for many decades of modern physics. You could see that this is a density in the units of normal density of nuclear matter in the nuclei, and here is the temperature. And indeed, for recent few decades, very intensive studies have been done at the low baryonic density, at the high energy, at the LHC and the RIC. Many striking phenomena have been discovered and observed and discussed. And indeed, the theoretical support which available just in this region with the all power of the lattice QCD could really contribute and to explain many of the observed phenomena. It was indicated that the transition from the hadron gas to quark gluon plasma in this region happens smoothly, or so-called crossover. What's not expected in the higher baryonic density, these phase transitions in which NICA are going to work, as well as a FAIR, one could expect the first-order phase transition. If you have first-order phase transition and crossover, you should have somewhere a critical endpoint. And this is indeed a very big challenge to identify this first-order first transition, to see these critical endpoints, and probably to see the chiral symmetry restoration, which could not be happens at the same line as a first-order phase transition. Indeed, this region is a region where you have the baryonic density which very close to those which one could expect in the neutron stars. I would have a few comments. There's the particle physics, most of discoveries in the last decades have been obtained in the researches guided by the standard model, well-known and well-developed. Concerning the heavy ions, it's not so obvious. Physics is driven by the data mainly. That means the new data in this explored region of QCD phase diagram at high baryonic density are highly required and could be led to discoveries, observations of new phenomena, and it's very essential for the development of new theoretical models. Just how to reach this region of the high baryonic density? The many evaluations you could see here which are done in several models. This elapsed time of the development heavy ion collisions. And this is a density, how many baryons you have in one in the cubic Fermi. And FAIR, indeed, could reach, you could see here, is a reference point which five times the nominal density in the usual nuclear really exceeds the five times of nominal density of the nuclear matter. In the NICA, we could reach even a 10 GeV, even almost 10 times. But you could see it exceeds even those reference points. So 5 GeV, 10 GeV is a region where one could expect this high baryonic density. I indicate in this logarithmic scale of the energy in the center of mass per unit in the heavy ion collisions, and region where the energy could reach maximum baryonic density. This is the interaction rates, which is one essential feature of any experiment. And you could see this is all the fixed target experiment which available, which could deal with this region. You could see that the CBM at FAIR reaches even very record and essentially good experiments that could provide a few megahertz or probably gigahertz interaction rates, which could really contribute a lot. But we have as well the NICA BMN experiment, which has started already data taken at the low edge of this region. The main advantage of fixed target experiments, a high rate of interactions, which could be easily, not easily, but could be taken. Easily upgrade and many other advantages. Concerning the collider experiment, we have only two projects which could reach this region. This is a NICA MPD and Beam Energy Scan Second, which has been approved recently by DOE, and they are planning to start this investigation in the next year. Advantage of the collider experiment is obvious. It's a coverage of maximum pay space, the minimum biased acceptance, less of target parasitic effects. For some studies, the rates are very essential, but lack of full coverage could give not possibility to study some very striking phenomena. In this case, we have really full space, but not so high interaction rate. But I would say that both FAIR and FAIR with fixed target with extremely high rate and NICA with full coverage of phase are really complementary to investigate in whole region of high baryonic density. But concerning the NICA project, with the both experiment, baryonic matter and nucleotron, and MPD, we could cover almost all the region with a different rate, with a different approach, experimental approach. So, summarizing the physics goal and what could be available for NICA in the QCD matter, we could say that we could work in the region of the maximum net baryonic density, could be identified as a density frontier. We could expect maximum rate strangest to non-strange particles, kaons over pi, on lambda over pi, maximum yield of hypernuclei, transition from baryon-dominated system to meson-dominated one, maximum polarization of lambda, which discovery which have been recently observed by Etrig, was presented just before by Richard Lednitsky. But most interesting task discovery could be the definition, observation, first-order phase transition, mixed phase, and the critical endpoint. Very shortly concerning the spin physics, because spin physics is going to study the nucleon spin structure, first of all, to solve so-called the spin crisis, which up to now not yet solved. Several processes, Drell, Jan, Matveev, Muradyan, Tavkhalidze, processes could help to contribute to that, to really to derive the parton distribution the functions which are spin dependent, as well as the direct proton production and the J-type production. All the combination of the polarized beam, longitudinal and transversal at those energy could allow to the SPD NICA to have a unique opportunity not available at other facilities to study all the 8 PDF spin-dependent parton distribution function in one experiment and obtain comprehensive information on the nucleon spin structure at high statistics level and with minimum systematic uncertainties. The plan is the following, the time scale. The collaboration is just started. They are planning to open the project for SPD design just in January next year, and preparation of CDR within the next year. And you could see that then the TDR will be prepared between the 2022, but first measurements will be not earlier than 2025. This is according to the schedule of development of the NICA project. Now going to the NICA facility and at which stage we are now. This you know very well, NICA facility, the nucleotron, the experimental area with extracted beams. Here is a collider, two colliding beams with the two interactions point for SPD and MPD, the central NICA, which had been mentioned by the report of the director of GNR this morning. But two major milestones of this year, those are the BMN, the first physics run. We promised to do the first physics run in this year. Another very striking milestone of this year is the booster commissioning. I will go to those step by step. So Linux, which are essential part of the injection complex, have been already commissioned 2 years ago. It was presented here just two years ago in the Scientific Council. But modernization of the injection complex and the nucleotron itself would allow to run very successful last run, number 55, during the spring, winter-spring of this year, February, April, and you could see how what's the efficiency of this run, and two experiments within one setup, baryonic matter at nucleotron, had very successful run with different beams, and for the first time, the beam spill was excellent, so perfect, which is very rare. Not all the accelerators in the world could present such good beam spill. So the nucleotron has reached really perfect conditions, but now it's stopped for 2 years because the building where it's located, being building number 2, should be now reconstructed due to the construction of the collider. And that would allow this very perfect run of the nucleotron to carry out the first experiment, the first physics run, by the large collaboration which has already agreed to work with the baryonic matter at nucleotron. You could see here representative of 19 institutions, and even extend the physics program for so-called probing of short-range correlations. The physics which is going to study the nuclear interaction inside the nuclei in the region where attractive forces changes its behavior to repulsive forces. And this is what is a very successful run, which involves even more institutions, you could see from USA, from the French, from Germany, from the Israel. And the first physics run was carried out rather successful, and they have collected, you could see, 8 million events. Now they are going to really investigate and prepare the next run with a more clear vision what should be improved. And concerning the first milestone in the NICA program, baryonic matter of nucleotron has been prepared with a minimal configuration to study those runs. It means that the tracking based on the GM and the silicon tracker was just in the minimum size. Only upper part was covered of the acceptance. You could see, nevertheless, the time of flight system was very essential, very promising, because the time resolution was around the 50 picoseconds. It's sufficient to identify all the charged particles, all the charged hadrons. And the momentum resolution is, with this limited tracking system, is just rather good, from the 1.5 to 2 percentage. You could see the plans. The first physics run with the minimum configurations, stage zero, started in this year, and then step by step will be upgraded in the full configuration with a 50 kilohertz of interaction rate would be acceptable just after 2021. So this first milestone have been achieved, the first run, with a variety of the targets in the various beams with the various energies have been collected altogether around 200 million events, and the first analysis using just those two only partially equipped tracking system could identify the lambda decays. You could see the reconstruction particles. This is a silicon tracker and then GEMS. And so finally, it will give us a very good, clear identifications of lambda. This is the first very preliminary result which have been reported on the conferences just yesterday. Concerning the second very essential milestone, this is booster status, where we are now. So you could see here the major elements, how now the dipoles, quadrupole doublets, etc., and how many elements should be produced and installed. Tested means that all the elements are produced and tested, including the cryogenic test, and the ready means that all the joints, all the elementary parts should be completed by to start mounting. And you could see the rather big part of the elements are ready for the installation. And some basic elements, it was already reported, as electron cooling system, which have been designed and produced by Butker Institute, already installed, tuned, and indicate very good perfections in the deviation of the magnetic field. The spread of the magnetic field is, you could see it at the level 10 to the minus 5. It's already fully operational, and it's the same as RF station. Concerning the dipole and other magnets, there at the stage of transportation from the factory of the production to the site where they should be installed. And the first magnet was installed just yesterday. So we have started the installation of the booster magnets. You could see here the beam injections in the booster. All the design is completed. The main septum is under construction in the cryosystem company in UK. It's already at the good stage of the production. We expect soon it will be completed. All the magnets are already produced and waiting to installation. And even the prototyping for the electrostatic detectors are well developed and are operational. Concerning the beam transfer from the booster to nucleotron, you could see here tunnel of booster, tunnel of nucleotron. This is a line which has been designed already, and you could see here the status. The design is done by the Butker Institute. It's ready to start production of the extraction kicker and septa. And all the elements are more or less in the schedule, and the beam transfer system, you could see here the sketch how it could be done. We expect that commissioning will be completed by the end of the next year. But this channel from the nucleotron from the booster to nucleotron should be constructed, and how it's going on, you could see it has been started just more than a week ago, and 5 days ago it was the destruction of all the basement of the nucleotron, and yesterday photo indicates it's already a good progress. The contract preparations take a year, and the construction itself could took justly less than two weeks. This is an efficiency of the work. Concerning the booster assembling timescale, you could see here the present vision how it will be done. It really, the installation of the four quadrants have been started, two quadrants already now, today. The first magnet has been installed yesterday. You could see that we slightly moved from the December of 2018 to the first quarter. The technical commissioning. Technical commissioning means that all the cryo systems, all the magnets will be installed, the vacuum will be checked, and the magnetic fields will be checked, etc. But the first beam, commissioning with the beam, will come later. All the systems are already produced, are at the stage of installation. So the second milestone slightly delays, but it will be fulfilled with a reasonable time. The collider elements was reported many times, are already all designed, all at the stage of the production. It's going more or less according to the schedule. The civil construction have been shown already today. It's a view. You could see here the western The western semi-ring is already closed. The tunnel is under reparation inside. The SPD hole and MPD hole are under construction. And we expect that the first milestone of this construction should be the MPD hole, which should comprise the MPD detector with a large MPD magnet. We expect that the next year it will be ready for installation of major element of MPD detector. MPD is a main detector to study baryonic This is a multipurpose detector. Sorry for this mistake. The multipurpose detector already comprises rather large collaboration with many countries, mainly from Russia, you could see us from here. And the main element definitely is a magnet, because it comprises all the detector elements inside this magnet. And main challenge of this magnet is not only the size, but the region where TPC will be installed should be very homogeneous field. Very homogeneous field means at the level of few times to the 10 to the minus 4 deviation from the nominal field. It will provide us perfect measurement of the tracking system, identification system, etc. And finally, it could define the perfection of all the whole experiment. So we rely very much on the collaboration with CERN, which could provide all the system of the magnetic field measurements in almost 10,000 points, and all the systems are going well. Concerning the production itself, the main contractor is Genova Superconductor company in Italy. And you could see here that all the cryostat is already produced. Two of three superconducting coils are already produced. The third is under production. And the trim coils, which should provide the homogeneity of magnetic fields, are already produced. So we expect that everything will be produced in a few months, but delivery will be open only when the navigation will be open. We expect in the May it will be delivered to Dubna. Concerning the yoke, it's almost 9,000 tons of steel. All yokes are produced in the heavy machinery in Czech Republic. You could see here the control assembly, which happened in June of this year. Now it's disassembled and at the preparation to the delivery to Dubna. As I said, the magnet assembly will start in the next year, in the summer of next year, in the MPD hole, which should be ready for that time. Concerning other detectors, I have no time to explain all the details and to show all the elements, but the first stage, which would involve the major tracking system, TPC, time of flight systems, is green, ECAL, and forward hadron colorimetry for the determination of the reaction plane and the centrality, fast timing system, fast forward detector. You could see here the simulation from the region where we are working from 4 to 11 GV. What's the distribution of the pseudorapidity and how many the elements at the first stage would cover all this pseudorapidity. We expect that overall commissioning of the MPD in this first stage will start in 2020, but the second stage, which is more essential, will be complemented by the inner tracker system and CAPS comprising the tracking system, time of flight, and ECAL, and will be 3 years later. And with that, we should really cover all the acceptance of all the pseudorapidity. We would have the full phase space to really to benefit of this collider experiment. I will touch only the very critical issue, which is related to ECAL, because it's the first very challenging project to have the projectile geometry of Shashlik. Shashlik is very usual technology well developed of the ECAL, but projectile geometry in such scale is done for the first time. We came there for the necessity really to have possibility, have efficiently reconstruction of all the showers from the tracks, from the gammas and the electrons. And we, all the elements are designed and produced. To produce 43,000 models of such very complicated devices, it's a huge enterprise. We are planning to share this production at several sites. We are at the stage of negotiations, so we could have a delay with that. That's why we are considering two scenarios of integration ECAL inside the MPD. The scenario A, if we would not be in time, then several toggles could be inserted as soon as they are ready, and we would have the stage-by-stage upgrading our system, not destroying what's inside. But the most convenient and most straightforward scenario is scenario B, when the whole calorimetry, which is more than 150,000 tons, first should be installed, and then all the other tiny elements will be installed inside. Up to now, we are working on two scenarios, not concluded which one would be really realistic. And another very, I would say, striking project is the inner tracker at the second stage, and that we rely on the technology transfer from Alice CERN. It's a very modern technology of so-called Alpi maps, monolithic active pixel systems. We would have altogether two barrels in five cylinders, 2 + 3, altogether almost 5 billion pixels, which could cover the region, active region of slightly less than 4 square meters. But that could be done only with a beam pipe, which should be not 64 centimeters in diameter, which will be at the first stage, but only 38 millimeters in diameter. We expect the accelerator people would be ready in 3 years after running to diminish the beam focusing and to allow us to install this tiny beam pipe, which is would be done from the beryllium. And now we again rely on the cooperation with CERN, which could really contribute to this beam pipe constructions and gave us the most progressive technology in this side. Just the conclusions and summary. So the milestones, as Andy explained, the first milestone is already fulfilled. The BMN has started the first physics data taking. Booster commissioning is slightly moved from 18 to 19. The next readiness of MPD hall next year. MPD magnet commissioning next year, completion of the civil construction in 2 years, MPD commissioning stage one at the end, by the end of the 2020, completion of the NICO center construction, which is very essential for the newcomer guest and the collaborator members, and the new computer center, which should be located inside this NICO center. We expect as well in 2 years, and the computing center, which would be installed in the first floor of this NICO center 1 year later, and the second stage of MPD 2023, and the SPD, as I already shown, at the 2025, the first stage. So this is a kickoff collaboration meeting, which has take place in the April of this year. The next one will take place in 1 month. And at the first collaboration meeting, the institutional board have been formed, 80 member states for baryonic matter and Clatron, and 27 institutions, and so 27 members for the MPD. The bylaws for both collaborations have been adopted and signed by the institutional boards. Institutional boards processed to form the spokesperson search committee, and the following members were proposed: Hans Rudolf Schmidt from the Tübingen University, Alexander Sorin from GNR, Itzhak Tseruya, head chair from the Tel Aviv University, from the Weizmann Institute, Fuzhang Wong from the China. And we expect the search committee already has collected all the proposals and the two spokespersons, and will be elected just during the next collaboration meeting. And the MOU is under preparation according to those collaboration. This is very essential, which have been shown already by Viktor Anatolyevich Matveyev, that Russian Fund of Basic Research announced the competition for best projects related to NICA, and it has been already started a few days ago, so 10th of September, will be continued until the 19th of October. The possibility to provide to the proposals, and the term of project, each of project is 3 years, from 3 to 6 million per year to each of the project, not less than 3 million. It's rather essential contribution from the Russian Federation and of the Russian Basic Research Fund to the NICA project, and could allow to grow more essential collaboration among the Russian institutions which are going to participate in the NICA project. This is the only source to support them to contribute to the NICA project. And as a summary, I could say that the density frontier is a less explored area of KCD phase diagram, and its study could lead to interesting discoveries. A NICA complex has a potential for competitive research in the field of baryonic rich matter. Participation of accelerator preparation of accelerator complex and both detectors, baryonic matter at MPD, are going close to the schedule. SPD project CDR will be presented in the next year. Two major milestones to be fulfilled within slight delay, second one. Both collaborations are growing for baryonic matter at 2-4 and MPD, and recently this grant opened a very essential to, for the large involvement of more Russian institutions to the NICAP project. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Professor Kekelidze. The next speaker is Professor Itkis about nuclear physics.
So, I will speak about heavy ion physics at low energy, nuclear physics with neutron, and non-accelerated neutrino physics. First of all, I start from floor laboratory of nuclear reaction. You can see here the plan of this laboratory, accelerator complex for different purposes, and main direction of this research, heavy and super-heavy nuclei, synthesis and study of properties of super-heavy element, chemistry of new element, fusion, fission, and multi-nucleon transfer reaction, nuclear mass and laser spectrometry of super-heavy nuclei. The second point, that light exotic nuclei, properties and structure of light exotic nuclei, reaction with exotic nuclei. And the third point, radiation effect and physical groundwork of nanotechnology. We have special place for nanotechnology laboratory. I start from search for super heavies. As you know very well, that during last 2 decades, we synthesize 6 new elements. And more than 50 isotopes of super heavy element. And main goal of this experiment was achieved. It means that we shown that more high stability of super heavy element in comparison with this region is achieved, that the approximately half life of alpha decay for this region of nuclei increase approximately on 5 order of magnitude in agreement with theoretical prediction which was made by Adam Sobieczewski, another theoretician, more than 50 years ago in the middle of 60s, last century. So, what next step in this direction? How to reach more heavy system beyond organism, and how to reach more neutron rich isotope of super heavy element, how to investigate chemical properties, not only physical properties of super heavy element, many questions. What is the next step? We can use more heavy ion than calcium-48. All these elements have been obtained in reaction with calcium-48, an actinide target. Now the last available target is californium. More heavy is not exist for such experiment, and we need to increase the mass of heavy ions in order to synthesize more heavy. Another way, for example, multi-nucleon transfer reaction, we must study before then start such direction, and also, for example, reaction with emitted charged particle in order to move more neutron-rich nuclei. Recently, we studied some reaction with tantalum chromium ion, and this result, it's a new result shown here. You can see for a comparison between reaction with calcium-48 and tantalum and chromium. You can see here this reaction, and very important to stress that cross-section for this reaction at least in 50 or 100 times less than in reaction with calcium-48. It means that we start We have cross-section for previous reaction with calcium 48 around 1 or 10 picobar. Now we must to measure, synthesize new element with cross-section for operation reduced cross-section around femtobar, 10, 20, 30 femtobar. 100 times more, less the cross-section. It means that we need to increase our sensitivity in order to continue this investigation, to search not only more heavy element, and also to search new closed shell, like instead of for proton, for example, instead of 114, 120, 122, and so on, because different theoretical prediction exist for this. And the goal of new super heavy element factory, you can see here, the synthesis of new super heavy element, shaping the region of super heavy element, synthesis of new isotope, I mean neutron rich and maybe neutron deficient isotope, study of decay properties, and study of excitation function for more heavy than organisation element. Experiment which require high statistic. First of all, nuclear spectroscopy of super heavy element in order to study structure of this element, precise mass measurement and study of chemical properties of super heavy element, it's especially very important for discovered element. This project started in March 2012, you can see here the picture. Now the civil construction is finished. At the one set of day one experiment we plan at the end of this year, test beam experiment. The new accelerator DC-280 install and beam lines and many system. And you can see from this table that, for example, intensity of ions in comparison with which we have today, about one particle microamp, increase at least at 20 times. So next step, new gas filter recoil separator for study for synthesis of super heavy element. This separator was produced by Sigma Phi and installed now in experimental hall. And the transmission of this gas filter recoil separator for such reaction, approximately from 60 to 80 percent, it means that in two or three times higher than we have today. Here shown the one-day experiment at super heavy element factory. Test beam started at the end of this year. After that, we start two reaction for test experiment, argon plus dysprosium, oxygen plus lead, and test experiment two, it's calcium plus plutonium, which produce 114 element, and calcium plus americium, 115. You can see here the, our previous result, the excitation function for 114 and 115 element and theoretical calculation, we have good result, and we hope that using such facility, new facility and new accelerator, we increase at least in 50 times the statistic for synthesis of super heavy element. One day experiment at synthesis of element 119, it's the first element of 8 period of periodic table of element, because the 7 period was fulfilled due to our previous experiment in reaction with calcium 48, and it will be the first element on the next period, unknown period of periodic table. This experiment will be realized in reaction with berkelium plus tantalum, for 3 and 4 neutron evaporation channel for such isotope of 119. We are waiting, we know very well previous decay chain for 117, 115 and so on. And we will look at this weighting cross section around 50 femtobarn, such target, the transmission it's for 3 particle microamp, 1 event per month. If we will use 10 particle microamps, it will be 3 event per month. During 5 months, we can synthesize around 15 decay chain for 119. Next experiment concerning the mixed target californium. It's californium 49, californium 50, californium 51, and we come to more heavy isotope of 100 for 100. First experiment for 118, we will observe more heavy isotope, and also in reaction with tantalum and chromium, we can achieve, for example, curium plus chromium or californium plus tantalum, achieve 220 element. It's a reaction as shown here, different reaction. We must test it, each of this, and we know also very well the previous decay chain, 118, 116. It means very useful for experimentator. And also for 3 particle microamp, we wait 1 event per month if the cross-section around 50 femtobarn. If the cross-section lower, it means that the beam time must be very strong increase. Concerning the nuclear spectroscopy, we collaborate very strong with ORSE, and now we modernize our Gabriela facility in order to study the nuclear structure of super heavy element. The first experiment has been done with this setup. Now we increase the Glover germanium detector, and in future we start to study nuclear structure more heavy around Hassium, around Copernicus, and more heavy up to 115 element, up to Moscovium. Concerning the particle physics, exotic nuclear physics, we recently installed new facility, so-called Aquilina fragment separator. He now installed an UFO 100M accelerator, and first experiment with gallium-6 and lithium-9 ion was performed in this year, elastic scattering, and the reaction like deuterium for hydrogen-5 reaction, and for neutron plus lithium-9 run, and hydrogen-7, it's for neutron decay in the reaction. Deuterium on gallium-8 is proposed as flagship experiment for the years 2018 and 2019. Now I come to neutron nuclear physics in Frank laboratory. Using the collaboration with CERN collaboration, they study uranium neutron gamma reaction. It's very important for new nuclear data. This collaboration very success work during last years, and some result obtained, for example, for first observation and parity odd asymmetry of alpha particle emission in boron 10 and alpha lithium 7 nuclear reaction. This published last year, a very interesting result. Another important result, it's applied result in principle, effect of nano-diamond fluctuation of the efficiency of diaspherical reflection of cold neutron. It's for study of cold neutron. And all now facilities resonance neutron source IRN during the 2018 deep modernization of the cooling system of work independent of IBR2 reactor with finish to the end of year. New ventilation of target hole was mounted. The regatta 2 equipment was assembled and tested at the stand to work with ANIA and IRN renovation of rooms are going. Preparatory works was done for designing overhauls of experimental halls, manufacturing of new wave grid, manufacturing of new klystron, two klystron will be finished at the first month of next year, and plans for 2019 start to operate with new cooling system, regatta to mounting and its place, designing overhauls of experimental halls. Here shown some picture for this facility, and some example of experimental result concerning with applied research using the IRN facility. It means the applied research for architectural samples and some image of from Kremlin, Valery?
Necropolis,
yes, was studied using the resonance neutrons. It's a very interesting result for architecture science. Next topic is modernization of Tangra project for study gamma N reaction with very high quality, with very high accuracy, and first result. This Tangra project was done. It's and first result, for example, for measured gamma spectra for iron 56 have been done and published. Concerning the next Gelepa laboratory, it's a neutrino program. You today about this told our director and Richard Lednitsky also. I show only few example of this. First of all, it's our Kalinin nuclear power our laboratory on Kalinin nuclear power plant. You can see here, for example, that we have the very nice flux of нейтрино 5 to 10 to 13 per second, improve the background shield of gamma experiment, world leader in neutrino magnetic momentum measurement up to 10 to 11 magneton bora, maybe a little bit better today. And the available place for measurement of just under the reactor, which provide about 50 meter water equivalent shielding from cosmic rays. Another, it's all experiment, gamma, gerda, and another, it's complementary each to other, and collaborate with Edelweiss also concerning the same equipment for this our underground laboratory. Concerning the dance facility, we start a few years ago. Today it's, you can see here, the segmented plastic scintillator close to core of Kalinin nuclear power station, overburden 50 meter water equivalent reactor cauldron, cooling pond, concrete, 3D information about each event, and so on. It's this dance now the main goal is to study short range neutrino oscillation, and the very, very preliminary results are shown here, and the conclusion of our experimenters, the 3 sigma means not a discovery, but just cause of thinking about short-range neutrino oscillation. It's the first result from dance. Another our facility is the SuperNEMO. We used the, in previous NEMA 2, NEMA 3 in Madana laboratory in France, and various good collaboration. And today we start a super NEMA facility. You can see here the some parameters of new facility, starting from 7 kilograms of mass of to silent to 100 kilograms and other parameters. And this work developing very good, and this demonstrator module will be complete today, and some elements of this demonstrator are shown here. It's only demonstrator, and today I believe that its demonstrator will be finished at the end of this year. It start to work, and after that, the group of our physicists and French physicists start to realize project Super NEMO in full volume. So, thank you.
Thank you, Professor Itkis. The next presentation is made by Professor Sharkov about condensed matter physics. Please.
Dear co-chairmen, dear members of committee, in 20 minutes I have to cover the activities and progress in the implementation of the 7 years plan of GNR for condensed matter physics and radiobiology. I will start with the laboratory of radiation biology. The main field of research is biological action of heavy charged particles of different energies. The radiobiological research at GNR started many years ago, but the laboratory is the youngest one laboratory in the institute. It was founded in 2005 as a laboratory of radiation biology. The structure is comprises two big departments and one astrobiology sector. You can see here the topics covered by the each department is molecular radiobiology, radiation cytology, radiation physiology, radiation neurochemistry, mathematical modeling, radiation genetic, group of modeling, ionization radiation interaction with matter, group of radiation fields of GNR, basic facilities, environment, and astrobiology sector. The laboratory full-time staff is 101 members, and it is a very strong scientific intellectual potential, including several members of Russian Academy of Science, doctors of science, PhD, and this is a really impression intellectual potential. And the age distribution you can see here, about half of them, the member of staff members are between 35 and 59 years. Old quarter is more than 60 years, and young people are also about 25 persons. Well, physics, molecular radiobiology. It is about research on the regularities and mechanisms of molecular damage induced and repaired in DNA structure in mammalian and human cells for radiations with different linear energy transfer, as well as study of the induction and induction repair of a cluster DNA, double strand breaks after irradiation by accelerated heavy ions in human cells. Radiation genetics, induction of gene and structure mutations in bacterial cells by accelerated heavy ion beams. You can see here very, it doesn't show anything, but you can see on the graph that the mutations grow rapidly with the increasing of the radiation dose. The study of chromosome and genome instabilities in the related mammalian cells as well. Radiation medicine is brand new results. The enhancement of biological efficiency of the modified breakpeak proton beam by DNA synthesis inhibitors RM. On the upper right graph, you see significant increase, more than 15-fold enhancement of biological effect of the when in the presence of the inhibitors, so-called RM. And the right down, you see that survival decreased 10 times, almost 10 times, with the inhibitors presence of RM. It is new result, and it is has very significant influence for the further radiation therapy. Space radiobiology. As you can see here in the upper figure, there is a monkey prepared for the experiment. And the first radiobiological experiments with krypton ions at the nucleotron were performed successfully. And as you can see on the graph, the cognitive abilities of the monkey decrease with the irradiation of the heavy ions. It is a big influence on the scenario of the long missions, space missions, for instance, Mars mission. Mathematical modeling, the influence of mutation on the neutron glutamate and receptor structure and so on. Astrobiology, very exciting part of activities related to the analysis of the formation of prebiotic compounds. This is the it deals with the origin of the life on the Earth, probably brought from the outside, from the solar system, or even from galaxy by the meteorites. And this study is going on very actively and has a good publication rate. And of course, new equipment like new high-resolution microscope is employed. Radiation research together with FLEOF labor, the special facility has been constructed for modeling and planetary soil. For instance, for search of the water under the surface of the of the planets. Of course, the important part of activities of this laboratory is the education. And 2 years ago, the biophysics department was established with the JNR directorate in the Dubna, at the Dubna University, and more than 100 students graduated from this biophysics department. Successfully, some of them are employed by the laboratory of JNR. Okay, concluding the activities of this laboratory, I can ensure you that implementation of 7 years plan of laboratory is going on successfully. The next big laboratory is Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics. And this is the one of the first laboratories of GNR. This is related to the names of famous physicists Frank Shapiro and Blokhintsev. And it is significant the distance from the idea suggested by Blokhintsev for the Eber one reactor up to the commissioning took only 5 years, and in 5 years the first criticality was achieved. From idea to the commissioning, only 5 years. Well, now at the moment the three neutron sources are available at the laboratory of neutron physics. It's a IBR2 pulse reactor, IRN facility. This is intense resonance neutron source based on linear electron accelerator, and the old Van de Graaff accelerator at G5. And there are three big research departments of nuclear physics, of neutron investigation of condensed matter, scientific and experimental department of complex IBR spectrometers, and sector of Raman spectrometry. Well, the 554 staff members, among them more than 100 come from the member states, not have no Russian passport, and average age is 47 years. The budget is about 25 million annual budget, and among them 45 for research. Direction of research are neutron nuclear physics, condensed matter physics, and basic facilities already said. 255 papers are published annually, and the staff member age distribution you can see here, many young people are active at the neutron physics laboratory today. The facilities, the neutron sources, cover the wide neutron spectrum. You can see here the cold, thermal, resonance, intermediate, and fast neutrons. And for instance, IBR2 covers a big range from milli electron volt of neutron up to 10 of MeV, several MeV of neutrons. The IRN is also present here with the resonance neutrons, and the Van de Graaff gives the flux of fast neutrons. Well, this very smart design of the famous IBR2 pulsed reactor with the average power 2 megawatts, and which gives the burst power up to 2,000 megawatt, and this is machine is provides the neutron average neutron flux density on the surface of moderator. This is record 10 to 16 neutron per square centimeter. It's operational 9 cycles. Every cycle has duration 12 days. That means 12 days it is operated day and night, 24 hours, and gives 200 microsecond pulses every 20 milliseconds. It is very, very nice device. Pulsed reactor, and you see here the 14 end stations, the instruments providing the wide spectrum of scientific and applied research. Compared to the place of our IBR2 machine is very, how to say, among the best ion sources, among the best pulsed spallation sources like ESS, for instance. That means the performance of this machine is really very, very good. One of the neutron scattering in condensed matter physics comprises physics and chemistry of novel function materials, physics of nanosystem and nanoscale phenomena, chemistry of complex liquids and polymers, biology and pharmacology, material science, engineering science, and of course neutron radiography and tomography. One applied research is also included the detectors, electronic for experiments, samples environment, cold moderators, software, everything is under development. A good example of the recent activities at the beam number 14, one of the beams I showed in the previous slide. This is neutron radiography and tomography used for study of archaeological objects, especially for metallic artifacts. Well, here is the statistic. It is a really a very important point. It is user's facility. It operates in a mode as a normal user facility. You can see here that the statistics show that every year we have more than 200 proposals. The year 2017 was approximately like 2016. And more than 200 are accepted, 19 countries, and more than 100 visiting users from 11 countries. This is important because S3 recognized the IBOR2 as a user's facility, and respective information is now on the new edition of the roadmap 2018 of S3. The statistics shows the outcome of experiments, of different experiments, 14 experiments. You see here the distribution of the outcome measured in the publications and the PIM time. And publications are here shown here. This is the users are have published 79 papers, and the GNR scientists have published more than 200. The important activity is the annual International School of Yacht Scientists under the title Instruments and Methods of Experimental Nuclear Physics. And as you can could see in the slide, the number of fraction of the member of the staff members, young scientists, are really significant. Now I come to one topic mentioned by the GNRDG. It is beyond the 7 years plan. This so-called SOL-CRIS, the new GNR laboratory for structural research at Polish Synchrotron Solaris. It is important to stress that it is complementary to IBOR2 research, and this GNR laboratory will be part of Solaris Synchrotron in Krakow, where the state-of-art structural research will be performed. And this GNR laboratory will comprise two beamlines, classical beamlines, beamline with three experimental end stations, and beamline equipped with the transmission electron microscope. And experimental methods available on these two parts of the laboratory will complementary, enabling complex structural characterization of various material, including the biological samples, proteins, complex acid, and so on and so far. Essentially, this is complementary research and complementary possibilities for experiments with neutrons and with hard X-rays. And this slide was already shown. The proposal is to have a superconducting Wigler providing coherent X-ray with the energies up to 20 keV, and with three end stations, small angle X-ray scattering, macromolecular crystallography, powder diffraction with the high precision option, again with the energy up to 20 keV coherent X-rays. And the required conditions for the success is the need of X-ray equipment and preparation of the lab and users program is ensured with the beamline access through proposal system and short-term exchange of specialists and long-term secondment. Well, here you can see the layout. To the right of here will be the new building where the new laboratory will have two beamlines available for experiments and installation of the Wigler. Here it is shown, a new one, and those are GNR, I think. Okay, finally, the 7 years plan for the Frank Laboratory. I have to stress that progress achieved during the first year and a half of the 7 year plan can be recognized as successful. But I would like to spend 2 minutes to inform the members of the scientific committee about the exciting future plans of the Frank Laboratory. Well, short-term perspectives, a development upgrade of EBR2 instruments, it's important thing. Already now there are examples of more than twofold increase in efficiency. It is very good result already. Completion of condensed matter complex and start of the ERN source operation at design parameters. It's short, long-term perspectives. New accelerator-based neutron source in order to replace EBR2 after the end of its lifetime. It is a very important point. The EBR2 has a limited lifetime up to the middle of 35, and of course the Frank laboratory thinks about the new neutron source, and this is already brought into discussion into the PAC meetings, and the respective papers are published already. As for instance, the recently paper, the Neptune project, it is about the super booster Neptune. This is a multiplying target of proton linear accelerator. You see a beam of protons which impinges the target, multiplying target of fission material with periodic reactivity modulation is being considered for the new neutron source. This periodic modulation is ensured by the rotation of this disk, and feasibility study of two concepts with neptunium, with plutonium based has been started, and the schedule, so-called roadmap, has been developed, having six major stages. And proposes to finalization in 2035 by replacing the present IBR2. It's just very logically development. You can see here in this view graph that conceptual design already started. Technical study will start by the end of this year, and R&D, engineering design, and construction should be finished 35. About 32 to 35, commissioning 35, when the EBR2 will finish its Lancet lifetime. Well, here I would like to thank you for attention and thank my colleagues from Laboratory of Radiation Physics and from Frank Laboratory for providing me with this exciting information, and ensure your members of committee that both laboratories are progressing well according to the 7 years plan.
Thank you, Professor Shakov. The next talk will be given by the Chief Engineer of GNR, Boris Gikal, concerning development of engineering infrastructure. Please, Boris.
Okay, dear colleagues, I would like to give short information about development of infrastructure of our institute for implementation of scientific program of our institute. Infrastructure of engineering infrastructure of our institute is multi-component structure which should provide operability of and development of basic facility of our institute, supply of energy resources, communication service, safe operation of institute facility and equipment. Infrastructure of our institute consists of two parts: engineering system, that is electric power supplies, heating supplies, water supplies, communication, and safety ensuring departments, that is radiation and nuclear safety, storage and registration radioactive materials, industrial safety, labor protection, general safety, and fire safety. Engineering infrastructure have to ensure operation of existing facility. That is accelerator complex of laboratory of high energy physics, first of all, nucleotron and physical facilities, and DRIPS complex of laboratory of nuclear reaction. That is a large cyclotron U400, U400M, new machine DC-280, and dedicated cyclotron for applied research IC-100, and electron machine microtron MT-25. Complex computer of laboratory information technology, base facilities of laboratory of neutron physics, and in Gelepov laboratory, phasotron and complex facilities for physical and applied research. Infrastructure of our institute have to provide for planned of creation of new project and facilities. First of all, it is a complex NICA. NICA complex requires to additional resource, increase of electricity power of 22 megawatt approximately, additional capacity of hot water supply for new building of the complex. Now, existing power of substation is about 22 megawatts. It is almost completely used. Required power increase for NICA complex is for booster 1.6 megawatts, for cooler 11 megawatts, cryogenic complex 11 megawatts, computer cluster about 1 megawatt. It means that total additional power should be 21-22 megawatts. And it is necessary to increase heating power for new building of the complex, which will be about 11.7 kilocalories per hour. It means the total heating energy consumption of laboratory will be increased by factor 2 in comparing with existing value. Laboratory of nuclear reaction has in the plan creation of new experimental hall for U400 and for U400 cyclotron, and new mounting hall which will be installed near building of ship factories. Now electrical power consumption of laboratory about 4 megawatts in the 2023, it will be increased up to 6.4 megawatts. Gelepov laboratory has in the plane completion of creation of new project Linac 200. This project in the stage of commission, the first beam was obtained. And in the plan of this laboratory is decommissioning of the phasotron. It will be done by the end of 2023, creation of proton therapy complex based on of superconducting cyclotron, commissioning of linear electron accelerator Linac 200. I told about this. But this installation do not require additional power supply for institute infrastructure. Frank Laboratory has a program of development IBR-2 complex with physical facility, elaboration of new neutron source concept. This program of development do not require additional power supply from institute infrastructure. Laboratory information technology has own infrastructure of laboratory. The upgrade of laboratory infrastructure is aimed to improve reliability of the computer system operation, that is modern water cooling system, on the base of chillers, hot, cold air system for ventilation, and reliable power supply system. Now, laboratory consumption is about 450 kilowatts for computer complex, and buildings consumes about 300 kilowatts. But by 2023, the planned increase of power consumption of laboratory will be about 2.5 kilowatts. Megawatts. Megawatts, of course. Engineering system. That is a scheme of existing electrical powers system of our institute. The main supply of institute is provided by Tempe electrical station here. We have two independent supply lines of 110 kilovolts. It's good for reliability of power supply for us. And the second source of electricity is hydroelectric power plant in Dubna. We have 4 megawatts from this station and 52 megawatts from Tempe station. Institute has two substations, substation one, substation two. Substation one is located on the site of laboratory of high energy physics. The total power of this substation 22 megawatts. 14 of this is used by Joint Institute. Substation two is located on the site of laboratory of nuclear problem. The power of this substation about 30 megawatts, 10 of that is used by our institute. 28 megawatts is used by city power consumers. We have a plan of reconstruction of our electricity system of our institute. We plan to increase power of substation one from 22 up to 41 megawatts, and increase of power of substation two will be from 30 up to 39 kilowatts. The total power increase for institute in this case will be 28 megawatts. The project has received a positive opinion on expert organization. According to the project, this project at substation one, two transformer of capacity 20 megawatts will be replaced by two transformers with capacity of 40 megawatts each. At substation two, three old transformer of capacity 16 megawatts will be replaced by four new transformers with the same capacity. Start of patches of equipment and preparation of installation will be in 2019. Completion of the project we expect in 2020. The total price of the project about 1 billion rubles. Heating supply scheme of our institute, we can see at this picture. We have two boiler house, center and east. The total heating power of both boiler houses about 280 gigacalorie per hour, but now we used only 60 kilocalorie per hour. It means this system is very reliable. The heat supply network of the central and east boiler house is combined. It's a very good scheme from point of view reliability. According to the plan, automatization of the center boiler house is completed. The price of this project is about 100 million rubles. Reconstructed boilers of both boiler house in the plane to perform automatization of the east boiler house. This project, cost of this project is about 100 million rubles. During last few years, more than 2 kilometers of the main heating pipelines was have been reconstructed on site of laboratory of high energy physics. The pipes is ringed. This guarantees reliability of heating system for all existing laboratories building. The new building of NICA complex require about 11 gigacalories per hour. In the frame of modernization of the heat network, it is necessary to lay new line for with an increasing diameter up to 500 millimeters or more. That is blue line here. Water supply system of institute and in city, of course, because we combined system. The system consists of pumping station taking water from Rio Volga and station for preparation of water, which consists of two substation. Total performance of both substation is about 800 cube meter per hour. But now we use only about 500 cube meter per hour. It means we have reserve about 300 cube meter per hour. It's quite enough at least for 5 next year, but for further development, it is necessary to build new substation. This project is discussed with administration of our city, Moscow, from point of view funding. Telephony. Our institute has own phone station. It was built in 1975. This analog station has been replaced with a new digital one. Increased level of service, increased reliability of communication in emergency, reduced the cost of station operation. Radiation of nuclear safety. The existing radiation safety system correspond to current norms and rules. The current modification of equipment is carried out according to the plan. Labor protection, industrial safety. The main goals: providing safe and healthy working conditions for the personnel, realization of preventive actions avoid to traumatism and emergency situation also. It works very well, no problem. And a few words about fire safety. The institute has modified this system. Institute has created a single dispatching center for control of fire safety system of all institute. The system include 15,000 sensors and 7 firefighting station. It works very well, no problem. So it's all information about infrastructure of our institute.
Thank you, Boris. And last presentation concerns the education. Stanislav Pakulia, director of GNR University Center.
Thank you for possibility to present result of our activity at Joint Institute at Scientific Council. And I'm going to present what we did during the last 2 years of implementation of 7-year plan. And as you have seen already from the talk of our director, that this 7-year plan organize our activity in three main directions, and I'm going to talk about these three directions during my talk. And of course, the main direction is different programs of for students from universities of member states. Then the second very important part, our popularization of science or outreach or propaganda of scientific achievement of our institute and other scientific centers, and also organization of different type of practices to improve skills of young engineers, young scientists, technical specialists, etc. So I will start from the student programs, and during these last 2 years we have about 600 students of bachelor or master degrees from different universities. Unfortunately, it's difficult to read here the names of the universities, but this list is much quite big. We have a lot of students from from Dubna State University, which are shown in this histogram, but also we have students from major Russian technical universities, not only from Moscow, but also from St. Petersburg, and recently we installed new chair at Kazan Federal University. And our main activity in this field is to provide conditions for students to prepare their qualification work in our laboratories. So students arrive to us for long period, stay here, attend some lecture courses if necessary, but their main task is to prepare their qualification work, which they defend after all at these universities. For the students from member states, we have different type of programs which can they use to come to us. For example, one of this program which start beginning of the century, so-called international student practice. We divide this practice into stages because we cannot accept the all students simultaneously. So this stage, this slide shows the stages and countries who sent us the students, and we accept all the students selected on the national level by corresponding authorities to come to here for 3 weeks to prepare a small educational research project. Right now, we have third stage of this practice for the students from Egypt, Belarus, Cuba, Serbia, and Mongolia. Mongolia, for the first time, sent students to this practice. And this histogram shows the distribution because different countries, of course, they have different possibilities to send to us to students because the stay of students in the framework of these practices are covered by grant of plenipotentiary or programs of with associated member states. So different countries has different possibilities, but nevertheless, last 2 years we more than 300 students passed this this program, and among more active are Republic of South Africa, Egypt, Arabic Republic of Egypt right now, they have students, but also European students from Poland and Czech Republic, etc. Altogether, from 2004, when this program started, more than 1,600 students passed this practice. But for such kind of students from member states, and not only from member states, we have another type of program. As I told, the international student practice accept all the students sent to us by the countries. In this program, which we call summer student program, we accept the students who we select. Who, I mean, our scientists. So students write the applications in dedicated web page, and our scientists has a possibility to select summer students. So the program organized in a very similar way like CERN summer school. We start quite recently, 2014, and during last these 2 years of 7 years plan, more than 100 students participated in this. The competition is quite high. So this year we got 260 applications, and 60 students were selected from different member states, and not only member states. So if for example, NICA project has collaboration with Mexico University or Brazil University. So the professors who participate in this scientific collaboration, they can have a possibility to send students the framework of this program to stay with us during the summer and prepare some scientific projects. And you may find the reports on these projects at the web page of the program. Besides this, we also organize the conferences for young scientists and young specialists. There are big activity which is organized by associations of young scientists and specialists of Joint Institute. They organize conferences here in Dubna and some other places. We organize conference in member states, not only in member states, which usually has a good place to present our institute possibility for young people. Now about the second type of activity, which we call the popularization of science or outreach activity. It depends on our possibility to be effective in this field. It depends on auditorium whom we address during this activity. For example, starting from 2009, we realized very successive, together with CERN, with the European Organization for Nuclear Research, we realized quite nice program which we called now Russian language teacher program for the teachers from junior member states. So not only Russian teachers, but also teachers from states, from member states of Joint Institute who can understand and accept information in Russian language can participate in this program. There is some statistic how many teachers participated in this program, and we, of course, we do not invite teachers only to CERN. We also invite the program organized in the form of two schools. In June, we invite teachers to Joint Institute, to Dubna, together with their most motivated young students. And at the beginning of November, we, after selection, we invite teachers from member states to CERN. So this activity quite successful, supported by directorate, and we are very happy with this. We also organize different kind of visit to laboratory because it's better one time to see than 100 time to read. This picture shows the visit of students from Kinda University who visited Dubna universities, and we organize excursion for them. But also we organize a lot of different excursions, mostly for school children, for students, for teachers, for this auditorium. Inside of our team, educational team of University Center, we have sub project, which is called creation of modern educational programs, which is run mostly by the people around the group of Professor Panibratsov from Laboratory of High Energy Physics. And this group of people, they develop modern multimedia resources which can be used in education. And we develop so-called educational web portal, which is very easy to remember. You may visit this portal. And we try to collect and publish the result of this activity in this portal, which includes multimedia exposition of gym facility, video lessons about our facility, for example, Nika lesson, which were presented by Professor Trubnikov, is located there. And also so-called virtual laboratories for students, which appear to be very interesting instrument because this is just a kind of scientific game which allows to organize training in of experimental nuclear physics without having the corresponding equipments. So which is very important for the countries, for the universities from the countries where it is difficult to organize such training. And so this slide shows examples of these lectures given by Professor Anatoly Sidorin, by Professor Vladimir Nikitin, by Professor Gert and Professor Pinyanshkevich. And all these lectures, they are, the moment they are in Russian, but we are working to translate it or add English subtitle to be used in universities of member states to introduce our educational our facilities for the students. Okay. So this slide shows this activity related to creation of virtual laboratory, and this year, and our director already reported this in his talk, we have very successful experiment inviting a group of very talented young school children from Israel, from HEMDA Scientific Center, and we organized for them training, just one day training, using this virtual laboratory and real laboratory which corresponds to this virtual laboratory. And we now can propose this experience to school delegations from other member states because it is really good experience because we get good feedback from these very talented young people preparing this activity. And this virtual laboratory is also located in our portal, educational portal, and it can be downloaded by any professors of any university to use in the educational purposes, as I told, and it's quite interesting modern tool which exists, maybe similar exists in the world, but not many, for sure. But also, very important part of outreach activity is trying to access the normal public, normal young people who are not yet involved in science, who are not yet became the students of technical universities. We participated in organizations Day of Physics in Dubna, in scientific fair in Moscow, in the framework of festival of different festival. But In order to address this special auditorium, we need to concentrate our efforts because university center has no specialist to do this. So this work is done by enthusiasm of several people from different laboratories. And I think that now it's time, and we hope to reach this goal during the 7 years plan to organize special subdivision, maybe under umbrella of University Center or some other subdivision of the institute, who will be professionally works with general public to address the, to explain what we are doing here, why we spend so much money to create these big machines, etc. It can be argued, but you know, for young people now, if you do not exist in Facebook or other social medias, you do not exist at all. So we need some professional people who can work in this field to translate our achievements, to translate on the level of understanding for science. Actually, the people who help us to work in this field, they produce very nice brochure for school children, which explain what we are joint institute are. And this brochure can be translated to language of any member state to be distributed among the school children and teachers of their countries to explain why it is important to do physics, to learn physics, to do fundamental science. Okay, so this we are going to do in the nearest future. And just to conclude my talk, I just show a few slides about special practices. Fortunately, we were lucky to use one machine, quite not new, but used machine, but nevertheless machine, small electronic accelerator, which can be used to organize student practice on it. And this picture shows Belarusian students working with so-called student beam and this electronic accelerator, and this is very good. When this machine will be commissioned, we acknowledge the support of Zhelepov Laboratory of Nuclear Problem, who now make some umbrella under this project. When this machine will be commissioned, and machine can be used for some scientific, small scientific or applied research, but at the same time it can be used to organize different type of engineering practices. Besides this, you probably know that last year, 1 year ago, we got some decision of Russian government which allow us to give our own PhD degree and the corresponding set of documents are under preparation, and we hope that next year we will start this process. But again, we are not an educational organization. We cannot start normal Russian type PhD studies here at Joint Institute. But we have, instead of this, we have so-called degree seekers system, which in accordance with Russian law on education, and we already 28 degree seekers now from different member countries, and after passing examinations, which can be done easily. Yesterday I got invitation from Tomsk University to pass this candidate of examinations through video conferences, and they promise to send certificate correspondence. So it's, even this is possible nowadays. So it's no problem to pass these examinations, but important to prepare the thesis to be defended in our dissertation councils. And I hope the system will start operating next year. As I told, we organize different type of engineer training, and we use this training in our practices already, for example, for create automatization of accelerated vacuum system, to develop, to learn students some basic electronics, so finally they construct small preamplifier for cosmic ray detectors during this practice, and this is this machine, this is student beam, which we can use for the practice with this with these characteristics, yeah. And also we have our university center organize training for technical staff. About 149 staff members completed the courses of professional training. This is different courses on technical how to work with vacuum, with lifts, with etc. So this is for technicians. And also we have courses for foreign languages, and more important, we have Russian languages, foreign language for the young people who came to us for longer period, so they can learn Russian at the university center. So probably this is all what I wanted to say. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Professor Pakulia. Dear colleagues, as it was proposed in a previous session of the Council, special time has been allotted in the agenda for discussions concerning the points 3 and 6 of our current agenda. So please, discussions. Michel, please.
So I have first a comment, which is just what you said. It was proposed to have the discussion after point 3 to 6. So maybe we put this proposal 3 and 6, sorry. So maybe we made this proposal last time. This is the first time that we do that. But after this all these presentations, I feel that this is not a good procedure, because we get too much information and not enough time at the end to ask questions. You see, you have eminent scientific council members here in the room, not me, but all the others, and you invited them to come, so you better try to extract as much as possible for your use, the management. From this audience, and I feel that at the end of all these presentations, we have not enough time to discuss, and also we got so much information that we have a hard time now to come back, for instance, to the first presentation and to ask questions. So I would rather recommend that we come back to questions after each presentation, and maybe at the end also we can ask a last question. So this is my point of view. Maybe people who want to react on that, before I ask questions, maybe people would like to react on what I said. Marek, I don't know.
Marek?
Well, of course I agree what Michel said, but my general impression is that I would like to congratulate the directorate of the GINR for really impressive progress achieved during last years. And in fact, it is really important to stress that at least during last 5 years when I'm in this scientific council, I observe, and I'm very happy to say this, that Dubna really is an important and very, well, top-level scientific center in the world scale. So let me just congratulate Professor Matveyev and other members of the directorate for all what was achieved. Now, of course, there are many questions we would like to address, but the general impression is very, very positive.
Congratulations. Thank you. Thank you. Michel.
So thank you, Marek, for saying that. I agree totally with you. So now we are entering the questions after this introduction. So this will be specific questions. First, for Victor Matveyes, congratulations again for your presentation. I was very impressed. And for instance, the visibility of GINR is clearly measured by what you said. In S3 now, you have a GINR which appear with all its flagship projects mentioned in the S3 roadmap. This is a clear achievement. This was not the case before, and it's a clear measure of the visibility of JNR in S3. I have, nevertheless, we discussed that last time also. As I said last time, you know that the European strategy process for particle physics is now starting at CERN. They ask for contributions from everyone. I hope very much that you will present a paper to the input of the European Strategy of Particle Physics describing the work at Dubna and your plans. This will show your interest for the European Strategy for Particle Physics, and this will be a unique opportunity to make your plan and strategy very visible. And also, this might be the beginning of the discussion between CERN and the JNR on a common strategy for the future, which might be interesting. So I hope very much you will use this opportunity to tighten links with CERN on strategical matters for the future. It's just starting now, so this is my recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Michel. Joko, start then.
I have a question for Dr. Pakulak. How many of students participating to the different forms of your university center want to return for continuing or want to come to the institute to work? Do we have some kind of statistics in this sense? It will help you very much to improve your activity.
Yes, we have this statistic. This is about 20% of students who participate in our different our program, especially preparing qualification work, come to us as our employees, after all, about an average, 20%.
Thank you very much. I have to complete. Do you organize this kind of statistics following the different countries?
Good question, because we are sometimes we are not accessible to the information about the employees sent by plenipotentiaries, and these employees could be young people, students or PhD students, and sometimes we do not have access to this information. But we are working on that to have access. And we hope, this will not increase. I mean, change this 20% number very much, I guess, because the majority of students who pass our programs are from the universities of member states close to Russia. Let me say so.
I will continue with another phrase. Only one, the last one. I think that it is very important to have a direct answer from the people participating, not through the plenipotential representatives and so on. They are busy persons. I think that after each stage, you could organize a short meeting and to ask them or to prepare a kind of questionnaire to put them to answer to some specific questions. You see? So you will have direct from them immediately after the finishing of the courses an answer and also some proposals to improve the quality. Thank you very much.
This we are doing. So we question all the participants, especially a participant of international student practice. We are send them questionnaire and ask to answer anonymous, of course, to what they like, what they don't like, what they wanted to change. And of course, we cannot ask them whether they became scientists after stay with us 3 weeks. This is a very complicated question. But we really ask, try to get this feedback from our participants, and we have such information.
Professor Wilhelm.
Sorry, I don't
Stratan, you may use experience of Polish colleagues. They always organize at the end of year the meeting in Poland to invite in there all participants of young scientists or students who participate in different practices in joint institute to share their impression, to share their experience. If you ask how to organize this, ask Władysław Chmielowski. He will explain you how to do this easily.
Professor Wilhelm.
Thank you. We will learn from Polish people too.
Okay. We move on now to Professor Wilhelm.
Thank you. Thank you for the place. I would like to. I have no concrete question about the numbers and about the what was said today. I would like to express my gratitude to all speakers, because I think that I agree with Marek and with the people before me that it really we enjoy to listen such contributions about the successes, about the progress, what was done in last year and last 2 years. But not only about the general level, very general level, I would like to emphasize probably that from my point of view, the most important strategic progress was done by the not only introducing NICA into the S3 roadmap, but about the communication with European responsible bodies, which is not only S3 but NUPEC and others. And I think that to making the new proposal for IBR introducing into the roadmaps and so on, it is something what is the strategic development for the European communication of GINR. And I think that it is something what is relatively new, because it is the matter only for last 3, maybe 4 years. And probably it is possible to emphasize in our resolution on the end of our meeting. Speaking about the educational activities, I think that, well, it was very well shown that it is something what makes the future for the institution, because the young people are very, it is not so difficult to orientate them for the task and for the interest into the institute. And the internal reorganizing, it was very nicely demonstrated by the reorganization of the neutrino physics. I think that it was done some or 2-3 years ago, and now I think that it is the main reason why Dubna at this time is one of the most respected center in neutrino physics, and probably the same will be done early in radiobiology, because I think that if we are speaking about the results and the tradition and history of radiobiology in this institute, we will come back very early speaking about the programming and advisory committee of radiobiology soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Some other questions, remark? Michel?
Yeah, it's about the implementation of GINR laboratory in a member state. So we had discussions on Solcris and Solaris to beamline GINR laboratory in a member state facility. I think this deserves more discussion, because it is a strategic move which I think we have to discuss. We need a special time to discuss it, because it could be a kind of model for which could be diversified and multiplied. It could be a model for GINR to develop fit in member states elsewhere, a little bit like in Modan, but also in Poland, which could be interesting for the strategic move of GINR in the long term. Or it could be more difficult than what we think. So this deserves, I think, an in-depth discussion, not now, but in the future.
Thank you. Some other questions, remarks? Please, Faisal.
Yeah, just a general remark. First of all, thank you for inviting me. I'm very glad and honored to be part of this committee. I'm really impressed by all presentations. It is true that before coming here, the visibility of GNR is something obvious. You can see everywhere, not only among the member states. And I congratulate Victor and his team for such an achievement. Most of the presentation were very clear, and I don't have really questions. But I share the idea that if we put all presentation together and discussion after, my experience showed that sometimes one question occupies the full time for discussion. So just, I don't have any special question, but I think the option of having discussion after each presentation will give more opportunity to have some insight in the presentation.
It's noted.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Some other questions, remarks? If no more, I would dare make a suggestion myself. The point number 6 of agenda deals with the progress of implementation of the 7-year plan. I think that all these results would have been more pregnantly evidenced if each presentation showed maybe 2 or 3 lines from the 7-year plan, such as to have a reference to which we report. Now I think that everybody is a little bit tired by this long session, so I invite everybody to lunch. At 3 o'clock sharp, we come back here to work.